7. 1 Samuel chapter 7, page 325 in your old Scofield reference Bible. First Samuel, chapter 7. That is the reason the old lady gave for not tithing. She said, Jesus paid it all. Some of you have got more flimsy reasons than that for not tithing, too. 1 Samuel 7, verse 1. And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim that the time was long, for it was 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth. And by the way, Ashtaroth was one of their pet gods. That's why the Word of God especially points that out. Sometimes there's some things especially we need to get out of our lives. I better move on. That's not my message today. But the Lord is pointing that out to the children of Israel. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethcar. Then Samuel took a stone, and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So we'll stop our reading in that story with verse 12. And then Samuel took a stone, and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So I want us to think today of raising some Ebenezers for 1989 because the Lord has helped us. Let's bow our heads, please, for prayer. Father, we thank you for this great account of this great revival here at Mizpah. Lord, when God came on the scene in behalf of his people, when they got right with the Lord, thank you for this great revival, and may this story bless our hearts today. And Lord, as we look back on 1989, Lord, we have a lot to be thankful for. You've brought us safely through another year. Lord, you've provided for us, and Lord, you've blessed us, and we have so much to be thankful for. And Lord, we need to build some stones, some memorials, some Ebenezers today, because the Lord has helped us. And help us to look back and think back of all the Lord's done for us as we come to the close of another year. Speak to us today. Encourage us in the Lord. Save the lost. Reclaim that one that's wandered far from the Lord today. And get glory. Lord, would you get glory out of the songs, the preaching, the giving, the worship that we do here today, may it be pleasing to Thee. And may the dew of heaven, the Spirit of God, Lord, be our unseen guest today. And defeat the devil and remove hindering spirits. And may we get something eternal for our souls out of this service. And may the Lord be lifted up and magnified. May we get a glimpse of Him today. And Lord, we know that if we will, that this service will be eternally worthwhile in our hearts and lives. And may Jesus get the glory now and anoint me now as I preach in His name. Amen. And amen. Now this story is a wonderful story of God's people, Israel, after they had the ark had been away from them for 20 years, had been a defeated nation under the yoke of Philistine oppression and without the blessing of God. And now they gather together, an unarmed people, to worship the Lord. They did slay the lamb and offer the sacrifice and cry unto God. And the Philistines come on the scene to defeat and put down this what they thought was an uprising. And the people of God told the man of God to cry unto the Lord for us. And he did. And God came on the scene and thundered from heaven and discomfited the Philistines. And God's people won a great victory. And then Samuel, between Mizpah and Shin, took a stone as a memorial, called it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." Ebenezer means stone of help. And so they raised this memorial there between Mizpah and Shin, the name of it Ebenezer. They raised it in memorial of all that God had done for them. There's three main things that I believe this stone here represented as a background to the message today. It was a place of defeat for Israel. They had remembered 20 years before that Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, and many of Israel's fine young men were slain on these very grounds of praising the Lord. They remembered that the ark of the Lord was taken, and they were defeated by the armies of the Philistines. They remembered that 20 long years they had been under the yoke of their enemies. Now, I know it's always bad for us to dwell on our faults and failures and defeats. I mean, we shouldn't just go around just constantly dwelling on and wallowing around in defeat and wallowing around in our mistakes and our misfortunes and loss. It's not the thing to do. It'll defeat you, certainly. But it's good sometimes just to be reminded every now and then, not too often now, of our past defeats. We ought not forget maybe the time we yielded to temptation and it brought defeat and guilt. Now, we shouldn't just dwell on our defeats, but every now and then it's good to just realize that that temptation you yielded to. And don't forget the time maybe you tried to do things in your own way and made a mess out of it. Boy, we make a mess out of things when we do try to do things in our own way and our own strength. We succeed every time we let the Lord have His way in our life and follow the leadership of the Lord. And we fail when we try to do things in the energy of the flesh. Don't forget the time you tried to preach or teach or sing or serve God in your own strength, and brother, you made a flop out of it. When we stand to preach, and when we sing, and as we teach, and run a bus route, or serve the Lord, we ought to do it in His strength, and we'll fail in our own strength. Israel remembered their sin when they raised this Ebenezer. It was a place where they remembered their sin. They had turned to other gods, and the priests were committing immorality. In the house of God, they were committing immorality. And this sin brought them down to defeat. And sin always brings defeat. I want to emphasize this. You might get by with sin for a little while, but neighbor, I'm here to tell you, defeat is right around the corner for sin. But the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. And they also were not only defeated, but they remembered their separation from God. The wife of Phinehas was giving birth to a child when she heard that her husband had been killed in battle and that Eli had died, her father-in-law was dead, and the ark of the Lord was captured. And before she died, she named her child Ichabod because the glory is departed from Israel. The ark represented the presence of God, and their sin had brought defeat, but also their sin had robbed them of the presence of God. Sin not only brings defeat, but sin will rob us of the sweet presence of God in our lives. It'll do it every time. When sin comes in, the sweet presence of God slips away. As you face, and as I face, 1990, Christian, is Ichabod written over your life? Has the glory of God departed? If it has, there's only one reason that your eye may not be living close to the Lord this morning. If you're saved, and it's this, sin. Sin. Sin robs us of the smile of God's approval. I want to feel by the help of God that there's nothing between my soul and the Savior. Buddy, don't rattle that paper down here. Don't rattle that paper too much. And I don't want anything to be between my soul and the Savior. And when something comes between my soul and the Savior, by God's grace, I want to have enough courage and faith to take that thing out, bring it out, take it out by the roots if necessary, and get it out so there'll be nothing between my soul and the Savior. Now, I have to have my check once a week just like you do. But more than I want my check, Tuesday morning to be now, since tomorrow is football day, and we're going to all have bleary eyes after tomorrow night, I guess. Some of you may be more spiritual than I am and not concerned about what's going on in the bowls tomorrow. But listen, more than I want my check, I want His blessings on my life. More than I want health in 1990, I want His blessings more than anything else. My greatest desire is to have Him and His blessings on my life in 1990. And we're going to go into a building, if the weather ever permits. Just got started on this thing. And it's been snowing or raining just about ever since we got started. But more than I want a building out there, I want to walk with the Lord, and I want His blessing and His presence in my life. What do I want in 1990? I want His blessed presence with me. Now, folks, as we face this year that starts at midnight tonight, that new decade and a new year, more than anything else you need in 1990, you need His sweet presence as your portion in 1990. And I'll guarantee you, if you have the presence of God in your life, you're going to make it through 1990. So you need to search your heart. Am I enjoying the wonderful, sweet presence of the Lord as I face another year? And brother, if you have the Lord with you, you don't need anything else. You're going to make it with His wonderful presence. Then they remembered their sorrow here as they raised this Ebenezer. There were probably some graves all around there that reminded them of their defeat and the loss of this ark. And these memories brought sorrow to their hearts. Sin not only defeats us, sin not only robs us of His presence, but sin will bring sorrow to your heart and life and to my heart and life. That immorality, that alcohol maybe that you're involved in, that drinking of beer and liquor and wine, brother, will bring sorrow to your heart. There'd people be drinking like fish. I'm so tired of these announcements. If you, to help your neighbor out, make sure one doesn't get drunk. So as a carload of drunks go home, somebody's sober. Hogwash. That's an insult to the American public to have to advertise it. Do you know that? That's an insult to Christian America. God, by the way, it'll bring sorrow to your heart. The bottle will bring sorrow to your heart. And drugs. I was told this morning that on the highway out there, one out of every 10 cars that passes up Highway 81, they're carrying drugs in it. Folks, we're in a great spiritual battle in America. A state patrolman told one of our men, and he told me that this morning. I don't have time to go into that, but it's tragic. It's tragic. But immorality and drugs and alcohol, lying, cheating will bring sorrow eventually to your heart. When you put the cup of sin and worldly pleasure to your lips, it may look enticing as you put it to your lips, but when you, as you drink and put that cup down and wipe your lips off after you have drunk to the full, it will bring bitterness to your bosom and sorrow to your heart. That's what the Word of God says. If you can sin and enjoy it from now on, the Word of God's not true. You can't sin and enjoy it for long. Oh, there may be just a little temporary pleasure, just a little fleeting momentary pleasure in sin. But my friends, the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. We had to send three boys home this morning. One of them said he's following the devil. I said, you're following a loser. Following a loser. You are. Some of you may be finding out this morning that it is... The way of a transgressor is hard. The Word of God informs us. And you remember the words of this preacher, Isaiah 57:21, there is no peace, no peace. I don't care how much you have in a ball. I don't care how much you're living it up. I don't care how much you're going down the primrose path of sin. The Bible says you don't have any peace. You don't have any real joy. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Then also, this was a place of repentance. Ebenezer was a place that reminded them of the time they repented of their sins and turned back to God. Look at their lamentation in verse 2. And it came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. They had been without the ark. They'd been under the yoke of the Philistines for 20 years. And they said, oh, Lord, it's been a long time since we had the ark. And they said, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could get the ark back again and enjoy the blessings of God on our heart and life and upon our nation. So they started weeping and lamenting after the Lord. It may have been this morning, as we're seated here, it may have been a long time for some of you since you've known God's blessing. You ought to start lamenting after the Lord. This would be a good time today, wouldn't it? To get back in right relation to the Lord as we get ready to go into a new year. And then notice their preparation in verse 3. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord. They prepared their hearts to seek the Lord. The Word of God says in Jeremiah 29:13, and ye shall seek for me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. You say, Preacher Lashley, I tried it and didn't work. Then you didn't try with all your heart. Because God says, brother, when you seek me with all heart, you're going to find me. So you get down to earnest business with this thing of serving God and seeking the Lord, and you can find me. And you can come to know the Lord and know His blessing. God says you can. Then notice their confession in verse 6. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. You know, weeping is not enough. I've seen people come down this aisle, shed crocodile tears, get up, and never change their lives. Weeping's not enough. Crocodile tears is not enough. Seeking the Lord is just, it's not enough. Oh, I need the Lord. Listen, we must say, Lord, I have sinned. I have sinned. Sin is what separates man from a holy God, and sin must be dealt with. We like to quote 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Just say, Lord, I'm sorry, I did wrong. And as you're chewing your chewing gum 90 miles an hour and think everything's okay. No, that won't do the trick. Confession involves more than just admission. Confession is, Proverbs 28:13 says, He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh his sins, forsaketh them, shall have mercy. Real confession is also at the same time forsaking sin. So as they would walk by this stone at Ebenezer, it reminded them of their repentance and where they lamented and prepared their hearts and confessed their sins. But also, I'm glad to report, it was a place of victory. And there's so much to this passage, and there's just, every verse has tremendous, and I've got to hurry and get to my message. I'm just getting up to my message. I haven't even got to my message yet. But anyway, it's a place of victory. Let me just look quickly as a place of victory here. The Philistines had gathered together against an unarmed group of Israelites who had assembled to worship and return unto the Lord. And through God's help now, they won a great victory. And Samuel made a stone at Ebenezer, a memorial of that victory over the Philistines. That victory was first of all won by a lamb. Look again at verses 9 and 10. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was, notice, as offering up this lamb, and as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel, but the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. So as soon as the lamb was slain and the smoke of the burnt offering ascended up to God in heaven, then God started blessing the Israelites and defeating the Philistines. There's an interesting coincidence about verse 11. The word Bethkar means the house of the Lamb. That's always an interesting thing, the house of the Lamb. So they offered the lamb near Mizpah and slew the Philistines all the way to Bethkar, the house of the Lamb. That's a blessing in my heart. You know, if we've ever done anything for the Lord, if we have ever won any victories, folks, if we have been a blessing to anyone, if we've won anyone to Christ, you know, it's all been done through the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to understand that everything we do, everything we accomplish eternally has to be done for and by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've been here over 26 years, almost 27 years, in a few months. And God has been good to me over these years. And He's blessed this church. But folks, we need, and let me be quick to inform you, that anything good that has been done around Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church has been done through the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. As Jesus said in John 15:5, without me ye can do goose egg, nothing. We can do nothing and are nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ. And so folks, as we serve the Lord around Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, listen to me now. As we serve Him and work for Him and worship Him, let's give the Lord the glory for everything that goes on around Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You know, a good prayer for 1990 would be this: Lord, use me for your glory in 1990. Lord, just get glory through my life in 1990. And you know, the Lord will hear and answer that kind of prayer. Then this victory here was won by prayer. As we see in verses 8 and 9, the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us. And we see in verse 10 that Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. We can never know real victory in our lives unless we spend time in prayer. We need to keep praying until God moves and victory comes. And then if we keep praying and keep on praying till victory comes, then, folks, we can raise a memorial too. We can raise an Ebenezer too. Hitherto, the Lord hath helped us. Every Saturday morning, God's raised up a great prayer meeting here on Saturday morning, and the Lord's raised it up. And so, men, let me encourage you, as we come to the close of another year, let's keep this prayer meeting going in 1990. One of the greatest things God's doing in our church the last few years is on Saturday morning when our men get on their knees right here in prayer. I think a good resolution for all of you men to make for 1990 would be this: Lord, I'm going to roll out of bed every Saturday morning in 1990 and be at that prayer meeting down there at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. That'd be a good resolution to make. Oh, preacher, it's too hard to get out of bed on Saturday morning. It's only time I have to sleep in. Oh, you should go to bed a little earlier on Friday night. Don't stay up so late. Go to bed about 10, get up 6. That's enough sleep for anybody. Get here at the prayer meeting on Saturday morning. God wants us to keep that prayer meeting going. We had 29 out yesterday morning. Thank God for that. And the Lord wants us to keep that prayer meeting going. Then the victory was won by the power of God. And I don't have time to emphasize this, but in verse 10, the Israelites were unarmed. And God came on the scene. And God thundered. And God discomfited them. And they were smitten not by their swords or by their strength, but by the power of God. And brother, they when God came on the scene, that bunch of Philistines, they ran like a covey of quails in flesh. When God comes on the scene, we can win great victories through His power. And that day when the battle is over, all Israel knew that the victory was the Lord's. You know, God will bless us at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church this year if everything that He does for us around Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, if we'll just say, the Lord did it. And the Lord gets the glory. So let's just faithfully serve the Lord around Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church in 1990. And everything that God does for us, every blessing we receive around here, every soul that's saved, and every good attendance we have on our buses and in our church, let's just give Him the glory for it. And the Lord will keep pouring on the blessing if we'll give Him the glory for it. He's not going to share any of His glory with anyone. Now, here's my message. All that's preliminary to what the Lord laid on my heart to bring to you today. Today is the last day of 1989. We enter a new year and a new decade. And this may be the last year. Well, the Lord may come back before sundown tonight. This may be the last year. And I believe this will be the last decade. Because man's number is 6. And we're just about completed 6,000 years on this earth. And I believe we're just about to the end of the road. I believe the Lord in the 7,000 year, the 7,000 will be the millennium. So I believe we're getting close to the return. I believe it'll come in this next decade. If it doesn't come before midnight tonight, I believe it'll come in the next decade. But we are on the threshold of a new year and a new decade. And we need to look back at the past year. And folks, God's helped many of us. In fact, all of His children, God's helped all of His children. He takes care of His children. And He's helped us as we look back over 1989. And you know what we need to do around Buffalo Ridge Baptist? And this is what the Lord laid on my heart. We need to raise some Ebenezers around Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. How the Lord has helped us. I'm looking out all over the audience. And I see some of you. God's helped you through certain problems, through certain situations this year. And we need to raise some Ebenezers saying, the Lord has helped us. So let's think of, as we come to these last few minutes of this service, let's think of the many times the Lord has helped us in 1989, or even this whole this decade we're concluding today. Let's think of the many ways the Lord has helped us. When I thought of the many ways the Lord's helped us in this year and this decade, I think of Ellen and I have spent the 80s struggling to get our kids through college. Now, there's two things that I want to do for my children. First of all, I wanted my children to have a daddy that tried to live for Jesus Christ. Greatest thing, men, that you can do for your children is to for your children, not to see a perfect man in the home. No, they know you're human. And when you make a mistake, you ought to be willing to confess it and apologize. But the men, your children, and ladies, your children, they ought to see a man and a woman in the home, and a mom and a dad living a sincere Christian life, living for Jesus Christ. And I wanted to give. That's one thing I can do with the help of God. I can live right in front of my children. And when one day when Gene Lashley is lying in state somewhere, if the Lord tarries, as they file by my casket, I want my children to say, my daddy was a real Christian. That's what our children need more than. I wanted to give my dad a Christian, my children a Christian dad. And I know my wife wanted to give our children a Christian mother. And then second, I wanted to give them an education. My dad is a coal miner. He wouldn't let me get near the coal mines. He said, son, I spent 30-something years under the mountain, and I'm not going to even let you get close to the coal mines. And I never did want to go under the mountain in the coal mines either. He didn't have to do much persuasion along that line. But we've struggled this decade getting our children through college. Laurie made it. And Tori made it. Well, he made it through college. He's still through you know, I think he's about to make it about another two more semesters. He'll make it through graduate school. And then a miracle happened. Calvin actually made it this past year through college. So we need to raise some Ebenezers down at the Lashley House for helping us this decade getting our kids through college. But you know, as I was thinking about some Ebenezers I need to raise for 1989, the Lord, and I've mentioned these before, but there are two Ebenezers I need to raise and give God the glory for it. The two great crises that he's helped me with in 1989, and you know the story, and I won't go into detail. Last February, the doctors told me that I had a blocked heart and a diseased heart. Now, you know the story well as I do, some of you do. You know that last February, I called for our men to come, and 42 men came and got on their knees and on their faces, and they prayed for their pastor. And I appreciate having men who can pray and get a hold of God in time of need. You know, it's a good thing to know somebody that can pray and get a prayer through, isn't it? That's a good thing to know. And our men got a hold of God, and 42 of them anointed me with oil and prayed when they went down in my heart. They wouldn't find anything. Now, you know, there's one lady here that I'll hold a grudge against the rest of my life. She said, preacher, they found nothing. Now, when we went down here, it must have been your head, not your heart. Now, I'll never forgive her. I'm going to have a grudge the rest of my days on that. But anyway, they prayed. When you know the story, that when the men prayed, that when it went down to my heart, they'd find nothing. And the next day, the next morning, they rolled me in the operating room. And when they first told me I had that heart situation, I was scared to death. You say, well, I wouldn't be. You just wait till you face it. You find out, brother, that's a hair-raising thing, telling them you've got a blocked artery and a diseased heart. But I want to report to you this morning that God does not forsake his children in time of need. He didn't me. And as they rolled me out of my room, some of our people sitting here this morning know I wasn't weeping, carrying on. I was joking and had the presence of God. The Lord didn't let me down. As they rolled me out of that room, and I can't understand it, but I wasn't afraid when they rolled me out to go down to my heart. I mean, the Lord took that. The Lord had to do it now. Gene Lashley's not that brave in the flesh. Now, some of you may be. The Lord had to help me with it. And he did help me. And as you know, when they got me on that operating room table, and all those members of Ku Klux Klan got around me there, those hoods on, masks on, everything. I said, hold it, I'm a Baptist preacher. I got to do two things before I do anything. First of all, I got to pray, and second, I got to take an offering. Now, you know, I can't believe that here, as they started, all these professionals started down in my heart, that I could joke with them about it. And Brother Sandy, I can't believe I could joke. But you know, the Lord took the fear of man, the fear of death out of my heart. He took it out. Either way is okay. And hallelujah, you know the story. They went down in my heart, and God had done something. I'm going to give him, they could have made a mistake, but anyway, I'm going to give the Lord glory about it. They found nothing in my heart. And so, brother, as I conclude 1989 and start into 90, as I look back over 1989, I can raise an Ebenezer here this morning. One Sunday in February, I came up here and told you I was going to have to cut back and sort of go into semi-retirement. And then the next Sunday, I was able to come up here and say, I'm going back to ministry today. The Lord took care of it. So I want to raise an Ebenezer for the way God helped me there this past year. The Lord, hitherto hath the Lord helped me. And then, I had the greatest preaching challenge of my life the first week of this month. And by the way, the greatest opportunity the Lord has given me to preach in this life has been right here behind this pulpit. I'd rather preach right here as anywhere else in America. I right here, this is holy ground for me. This is holy ground. There's one portion of the church that the Lord's given me title. I got it in heaven. It's right here, round behind this pulpit. It belongs to me. God gave it to me. And I'd rather preach right here as anywhere in the world, because I know that I'm in the center of God's perfect will when I'm standing up here preaching. But one of the greatest preaching challenge of my life, the first week of this month, down at Bob Jones University at the soul winning conference. About a year and a half ago, Dr. Bob III asked me to come down and bring the soul winning lectures at Bob Jones University. And I preached 4 days in chapel, and there were about 6,500 students and faculty members there. And it scared me to death. I mean, some of you can't understand why. But it did. And I even thought about writing Dr. Bob and canceling the appointment. I got to the place where I almost canceled that thing. And I even hoped the Lord would come back before December the 4th. That's right. I thought, boy, it'd be a wonderful time for the Lord to come back for Monday morning, December the 4th, when I had to go down there and step up in front of all those people. And you never know how much agonizing prayer I spent here in this church and back in the woods out there and over on the lake. And I told the Lord that I'd rather die. I'd rather die as go down to Bob Jones University and stand before that great crowd without his presence and without his help. But to make a long story short, we have some of the young people, and a couple, three of our adults here, we're down to one. My wife and the Bryants were down there on Thursday. And they'll tell you that the Lord saw me through. And the Lord helped me with those messages. The Lord did. And one incident, let me just call your attention to. I prayed many, many times and agonized for the Lord. 7 or 8 years ago when I preached down at Bob Jones, a young man came up after I got through preaching and said, Preacher, or Reverend Lansley, he said, I surrender to preach while you're preaching today. And so I prayed dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of times that, Lord, while I'm preaching during that week, would you call some fine young man or some fine young lady into the Lord's work? And so I preached, came on home, and nobody came up to me and told me that they'd been called into the ministry. But this morning, I came up here and I needed this blessing. I hadn't opened this letter from Ron Smith, who spoke here on Wednesday night in November. And show you how the Lord answered my prayer request with that letter right there. The Lord answered from heaven with this letter. He said, Dear Dr. Lassie, this past Sunday in Indianapolis, I met a mother who has 3 sons. 2 are in the military, and 1 is now at Bob Jones University. I'm getting blessed before I get there now, folks. She was asking me if I knew of any fundamental missionaries near where her one son is stationed in Korea. And in the course of her conversation, she informed that her son at Bob Jones University called her that Wednesday night. Now, this was on December the 12th, and he had called her that Wednesday night during the soul winning lectures. And he called her, at Bob Jones called her that Wednesday night to inform her that he was changing his major to something in the school of religion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe he was a business major. I'm sure he will finish the semester before he switches. Her name is Mrs. Hebron. She was thrilled to tell me the news. I thought you would appreciate hearing of how the Lord has used his word this past week during the soul winning conference. It was a real encouragement, challenge for me to be able to attend chapel on Monday. I didn't even see him there. As well, it was a thrill to hear how God used this week to change the direction and emphasis in this student's life. Just thought you would like to hear of this decision. Hallelujah. God heard and answered prayer. And I want to raise an Ebenezer this morning and say with Samuel, hitherto hath the Lord helped me. Now, many of you this morning need to raise some Ebenezers as you look back over 1989. Just think of this morning. Let's all just stop and think. If you're saved, think of the ways that the Lord has helped you during this past year. Maybe when you sinned, you went to Him and confessed, and He forgave you when you turned to Him. Or maybe think back over the troubles that you went through in 1989, and the Lord brought you through those troubles. Maybe you lost a loved one in 1989, or you had some serious health problem, or some great reversal, or some disappointment, and somehow, some way, the Lord brought you through. You didn't hardly see how you're going to make it, did you? But the Lord brought you through. And you know what you ought to do? You ought to raise you an Ebenezer this morning and say, hitherto hath the Lord helped me. Hitherto hath the Lord helped me. Now, Christian, you may be out of the will of God today. You may be living in defeat. If you would come this morning and confess your sins and turn back to the Lord like Israel did, you can raise your Ebenezer and say, hitherto hath the Lord helped me. Or maybe you're an unsaved friend here today. And unsaved friend, the Israelites won the victory when the lamb was slain and they cried unto the Lord. Now, you don't have to bring a lamb, because Jesus, the Lamb of God, has already died to take away your sins. All you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you will come to Christ, come down this aisle to Jesus this morning, you can raise your Ebenezer when you leave here and say, hitherto hath the Lord helped me. Or hitherto hath the Lord saved me. You can raise that Ebenezer this morning. So let's raise some Ebenezers around Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. If the Lord has helped you this year, brother, you ought to give Him the glory for it and raise some Ebenezers for His help in 1989. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm glad that I can testify of the goodness of God for 1989. I'm glad I can stand and say today, hallelujah, praise His name, He's helped me in 1989. And folks, we as God's people need to raise some Ebenezers for the many times God helped us during this year. Maybe you ought to go home this afternoon, get alone with the Lord and just praise Him. Say, Lord, I just want to raise some Ebenezers today. Say, Lord, You've helped me, and I appreciate it. Or maybe you just want to come to this altar today and get around the altar here. If the Lord leads you to do that, just say, Lord, thank You for helping me in 1989. Lord, I want You to be with me in 1990. Maybe, Lord, won't You just come and do that today? Or maybe you are facing 1989 without the presence of God in your life. You don't know the sweet presence of the Lord in your life. Maybe you have been saved, but you've just gotten away from the Lord. The greatest thing you need for this coming year is the sense of the presence of the Lord in your life. Oh, listen. If you have that, the Lord's going to help you this year. Maybe you're not saved. Maybe you need to come to Jesus today and get saved. And then the Lord will go with you through 1989. With heads bowed and eyes closed, the Lord will say, "Preacher, God spoke to my heart. I'm saved," or maybe you're not saved, but God spoke to your heart. There's a spiritual need in your life, and I need prayer this morning. Just slip your hand up. Let me pray for you. Preacher, pray for you. Just slip your hand right up. "Preacher, God's spoken to my heart, and I need prayer this morning." Just slip your hand right up, and I'll remember you in a closing word of prayer. Anyway, just slip your hand right up. Maybe you're not saved, or maybe you have been saved, but you don't have that sweet presence of the Lord in your life. Pray for me, preacher. Just slip your hand right up. Anyone like that will come to the close of this service. Slip your hand right up. I'll remember you in prayer. God's speaking to your heart. Pray for me, preacher. Just slip your hand right up. Father, we thank you today for this privilege of coming to this last Sunday morning service of 1989. Lord, we thank you for helping us.